Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. Here to encourage you, today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day.
Good day. We are excited and want to welcome all of our viewers on the Gulf Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Sandestin, Monday through Friday on the Christian Television Network. We are excited about having the opportunity to be viewed in your home and wherever else you view VFN TV. Of course, we want to give a shout out to all of those that are listening to us across the country and the world. It's exciting and encouraging to hear from you, get your posts, get your contacts, and it's awesome. But we have a great program to share with you today. We got a lot of things to discuss. We're going to be giving you some updates regarding what is happening in Iraq with all of the Christians that are being persecuted and those that are non-Christians that are being persecuted, that ISIS is going after them. I mean, the reports are that ISIS, the Islamic State, you know, they change their name all the time. They're beheading children, Steve. They're beheading children. This is barbaric. It is evil, and it is wrong. And the international community cannot remain silent. I mean, something must be done about this. This is barbaric. And it's just not right. I mean, this is just not right. We're going to talk about this. We're also going to talk about how we need to pray for Pastor Saeed Abedini. Reports are that ISIS is trying to kill him in prison right now. They're trying to get a hold of him. We need to pray for him. And we're going to talk more about that in some of the videos that are, that have been made, given an appeal to the president, Obama, to see about getting him out right now. But he has been in prison now a little over 2 years, I believe. And Jay Sekulow has been, and Jordan Sekulow have been working tirelessly to get him free. But we have so much to share. We're also going to be talking about, and as we've been talking about previously on VFN TV, regarding the Stand for Israel rally that just occurred in Pensacola. Many people are talking about that, and they're getting encouraged now to have solidarity meetings in other places. We also, you know, are going to be having a program for you regarding the night Stand for Night Israel with Pastor Dan Livingston at Transformation Church. That was an exciting, exciting moment, and he really had some great insight because he just returned from Israel, Pat, and him along with 50 other pastors to stand with Israel. I mean, it was beautiful. He gave some reports about the Iron Dome, and which we're going to be sharing about today. This is a high-tech, I mean, this is an amazing, amazing thing. You're actually going to be able to see footage of exactly how the Iron Dome works. No, it's not a steel bowl dome somewhere that pops out, you know, blocks these things. You're going to see how it fires, how intelligent this thing is, and how many lives have been able to be saved because of this technology. You know, it was invented in Israel, and they amaze us with what they're able to do, but on a previous program, we had talked about extensively how Hamas is using and has been using children. Children to protect their missiles. We have shown this repeatedly. We've talked about it. It's been showed everywhere. I had the opportunity to meet pro-Palestinian supporters there at the Stand for Israel rally. And in all honesty, they said that they hadn't seen any of those pictures. They hadn't seen any of those videos, and so we made that available and showed so that they can see. They did say that if they were actually able to see that, they would agree that that was wrong and horrific, and that was encouraging to hear. But we actually have video footage that was captured, and this is being reported on IDF, Israel Defense blog, but we have two videos we definitely want you to see. Journalists who are showing rocket launchers, Pat, placed in densely populated areas where children are actually not even a foot away touching the rocket launchers.
Oh, my goodness.
You've got to see this. Watch this.
for this rocket, which was shot right while I was live on France 24 on the English network.
This 80% of gone.
Okay, are you all right?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah,
what
happened?
The camera.
What happened?
Yeah, I'm fine. This was a rocket. This was a rocket. Rockets were just shot right next to where we're standing.
This is just some 50 meters away from the hotel where most of the international media is stationed. This right here is a launching pad for rockets used by Palestinian militants. Now, this type of setup is at the heart of the debate within the international community, but also between Israel and the Palestinian militants. The Israeli army has repeatedly accused Palestinian militants of shooting from within densely populated civilian areas, and that is precisely the type of setup we have right here. Rockets set up right next to buildings with a lot of residents in them who, by the way, have not fled around here. Now, the other very noticeable element to be taken into consideration is about 100 meters behind me, a blue UN flag floating above this building. This is another accusation which has been made by the Israeli government and Israeli forces. This rocket launching site is right next to a UN facility.
Well, there you have it. There it is. The rocket launcher is placed right there. You see the children touching them. How could that be safe? Listen, you know, we are pro-Israel. We are for the Palestinian people. It's Hamas. Hamas, who is reportedly the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, who is doing this, you know, and causing their people, the Palestinians, to be in harm's way. And to see children, I mean, that's not a place that you want to see children playing. And Hamas's hopes is that Israel will you know, retaliate, and that those children would get hurt in that retaliation. It's horrible. But you also saw in that video a UN flag that was flying over a building. You know, my question is, the UN, the United Nations, and we've talked about this before, and Alan Dershowitz did a fantastic article when he submitted an article to Gatestone Institute where he talked about, listen, there, you know, it's been reported often that the Gaza Strip is the most densely populated place in the world, when in fact it has huge swaths of land that are absolutely free. There, no one's there. And if the UN really wanted to help the Palestinians, if they really wanted to help in Gaza, that they could actually move all of these people, because Israel gives them plenty of warning, into these safe areas, declare a demilitarized zone, and that way they wouldn't be in harm's way. But yet they have a flag right in front on a building, right in front of a rocket launcher. Listen, it's a strategy. It's a strategy. The reason why it doesn't make sense, because it's not supposed to make sense.
Right.
Evil is evil. This is what they do. And so it's just for us to be alert and for us to know, so that we can, you know, pray because we're informed. You know what I mean? Not a misguided prayer, but a targeted, informed, focused prayer. I want you to see this other moment where a reporter from India actually saw where Hamas was actually setting up a tent to disguise what they were doing, and they were able to capture this on film. You know, Steve, you had talked about this before in a previous segment, and having, you know, served two tours now in Fallujah, correct? Now,
which is in Iraq.
Iraq, right. You know, the army that you're fighting against is not in their regular attire. What, you know, what are they wearing? What makes it so difficult to find out where they're at?
Well, initially, when you say their regular attire, what's important to remember is, a lot of times too, when people think of Hamas, they'll think of just basically what you see, like what we talked about before, like in the middle of a parade. They got like their green bandana. They're wearing their flak jackets. Exactly. Like if you look at this picture, you'll see them like they're wearing a Kevlar. They're looking like in their traditional military garb. But they're smart in knowing the fact that, like, if you look at the picture on the right, they're wearing just civilian clothes.
A split screen, yeah.
And the same thing is that when I was overseas, they blend in. They look like everybody else. And the thing is, though, is you don't know what's going on until all of a sudden you start receiving rocket fire, you start receiving machine gun fire, you start receiving, you know, mortar fire, and all of a sudden you're hearing explosions, and there's people running. And you don't know who's who, who's against you, who's for you. And it's the same thing, and we've talked about it many times before, is that the Israeli Defense Forces, they're going through urban environments. They're going through those densely populated areas like we're talking about in Gaza, and it makes it that much harder for them to pinpoint, to target who is for us and who is against us. And you don't know until somebody's shooting at you.
Wow. So, so interesting. Reminds me of what Pastor Dan Livingston said the other night when he was talking about, and we'll have this for you, that Israel's not just fighting one war. They're fighting the war on three fronts. They're fighting a war against Hamas. Mm-hmm. They're fighting a war against the U.S. media. And they're fighting a war against the U.N. And so, you know, it, on every side, yeah, there's a video of a reporter from India. I believe it's NDTV. And he shows exactly, right across from his hotel window, what is being done under a tent. And the whole thing is all done kind of cloak and secrecy so that Israel can't detect what they're doing. And a rocket later, they have recorded, fired right out of there, right out of that place.
Absolutely. And it's so significant because we've been talking about it before as far as, you know, the previous ambassador had said that Hamas doesn't necessarily have a military strategy as they do a media strategy. And we're emphasizing, you know, pray for IDF, pray for the soldiers, pray for those that are protecting the freedom of Israel, but also to pray that Hamas would be exposed. And these videos that we're seeing is almost just an exact response to prayer, because all of a sudden we're seeing, okay, what is exactly going on? Because we've shared in previous reports that there have been reporters from the international community in mm-hmm. Gaza in a hotel room wanting to broadcast it, wanting to point a camera at what's going on. But you have Hamas that's right there threatening them and saying, if you point a camera at us, we'll kill you. And it's forcing them to leave.
Yeah.
So pray for the reporters and the international community who are in Gaza. Pray that Hamas right. would be exposed. Pray for the protection of the Palestinian people. Because like as we're seeing more and more, we're getting more of an accurate eye of seeing the full spectrum of what's going on within Gaza.
Right. Absolutely amazing. We have more to share with you. Don't want to miss it. We have the Iron Dome and how it works. More. We get right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
I am pastor of a home church, and we have not filled out the paperwork to get a federal ID tax number. The question is, can the people who donate to our church deduct that from their taxes?
Churches are automatically tax exempt under the Internal Revenue Code, Section 508. I'm not sure whether you need an ID number or not, but I wouldn't be too concerned about getting an ID number if, in fact, it's required. But what is important for you to know is that you're automatically tax exempt as a church. If it's a legitimate church activity and a legitimate church structure, you have services, you have worship, you have baptisms, you have communion, these kind of things that make it a legitimate church organization, you're automatically tax exempt. That means the donations made by your contributors, members of the congregation, are automatically tax deductible.
If you have a legal question or concern, visit us on our website at aclj.org.
I'll never forget, I read this book once, and the author asked this question. I don't remember much about the entire book. I was in college at the time. And he says, in the book, if there, you know, what is one thing that if you started doing every single day for the rest of your life, what's the one thing that will change your life? And that one sentence just exploded within inside of me. I go, whoa, I was in my 20s. That's powerful. That's deep. And I go, what's the one thing that if I just started doing every single day would change my life? I got thinking. I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, I bet if I read my Bible every day, I bet you that would change my life. And that was the beginning.
Wow. Mm.
That was the beginning. One little step. Let me tell you something. We have a simple plan for you. You can get that at iabide.org. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. And you will learn how to hear God's voice, connect with God, and write down what he's telling you and have a relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you allow God's word to get on the inside of you, mm-hmm. it'll change your life because he is the word.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're just talking about some of these things that are being exposed about Hamas, and we're showing it. We're showing rocket launchers where children play. We're showing where children are touching these rocket launchers. You think, man, this is just awful.
Yeah.
You know, awful. And then we're also showing where these rocket launchers have been placed not too far away from where the UN has their flag, you know, flying high. Because Israel has been doing such a good job with this Iron Dome, and what a tremendous blessing this has been. You know, oftentimes you hear about Iron Dome and you wonder, what exactly is this Iron Dome? How does this work? And how is it intercepting rockets? Well, we have something that we want you to see because this is a remarkable technology. It kind of shows you how it works, what they're able to do, and how it protects a huge, you know, coverage area where people will be potentially hurt. Listen, one of the reasons why we haven't lost so many people in Israel is because of the Iron Dome. Mm-hmm. They've been able to you know, shoot down and take down a lot of these rockets that are being fired into Israel. Obviously, you know, it's not 100%, but it does wipe out quite a bit. We're grateful that Israel has it, and we're grateful that the United States government and Congress and the president, you know, they wrote a check, $225 million, to make sure that Israel has that protection.
Wow, awesome.
You know, to me, that's insignificant peanuts to be able to take care of that. And also, it's about $45,000 for every time one of those rockets are fired from the Iron Dome. About $45,000.
Wow.
So I want you to see this so you can see firsthand and kind of get a perspective as to the technology that's actually designed and invented in Israel and what they're able to do to defend themselves. Watch this.
Short and medium range rocket and artillery attacks are a lethal menace. They endanger the lives of hundreds of thousands of civilians and inflict heavy damages to property. They are becoming a strategic threat. With a wave of its innovative wand, Rafael has developed a first-of-its-kind counter-rocket artillery mortar CRAM system with pinpoint accuracy interceptors against asymmetric threats, Iron Dome. In an unprecedented short time, Rafael has met the challenge, offering an innovative CRAM system which has successfully passed a series of challenging tests against a wide variety of threats, proving its outstanding effectiveness. The system includes a Battle Management and Control Unit, BMC, Detection and Tracking Radar, and launchers, each equipped with 20 lethal interceptors. The system is mobile, deployment is rapid, and maintenance is simple and user-friendly. A single launcher protects the area of a medium-sized city or strategic installations. The system can protect stationary or mobile forces against short and medium-range threats. The radar detects and tracks the threat. The data is transferred to the BMC and to the launcher, and from launcher to interceptor. the Interceptor Seeker achieves very accurate end-game homing. Fully linked to other command and control systems in the arena, Iron Dome exchanges data with other sensors to maximize its combat efficiency and avoid fratricide. The system estimates the track threat's points of impact and selects to intercept only those that will fall in the protected area. This prevents unnecessary launches against non-threatening targets and makes Iron Dome a very cost-effective system. The innovative system has proven its capability to detect and home in on small targets flying at high speed and over a large area, even in severe weather conditions. Iron Dome operates automatically, day and night. The system intercepts all short and medium range threats and destroys them safely outside the protected area. The detonation of the Revolutionary Interceptor warhead is precisely timed to ensure destruction of the incoming threat's warhead. At an unprecedented pace, Rafael has developed the first of its kind and only operational system in the world for the interception of a wide range of short and medium range rocket and artillery threats. Iron Dome is a very cost-effective system, selecting out of multiple threats and concentrated salvos only those threats that endanger the protected area. Groundbreaking technological innovation to eliminate the threat of rockets and artillery, and to provide civilians and armed forces with the security they need and deserve. Iron Dome.
Amazing.
Wow.
Is that amazing?
That was pretty intense.
That was awesome. We will make sure that we make that related for you in the torch. You got to see this, but it's amazing. This technology is absolutely amazing, and we're grateful for it. You know, Pastor Danny, he was talking at the I Stand for Israel night there at his church. He's a city director for CUFI, Christians United for Israel, and he had just returned from a trip, and he had the opportunity to speak with one of the top lieutenants who was over the Iron Dome, 23 years old, and amazing, yeah. And she told them, one of the questions that they had, the pastors there, was, well, what happens, because they toured the Iron Dome, what happens if, you know, the Iron Dome misses? What happens if it doesn't, you know, catch the missile? She says, well, then we trust in the greater Iron Dome.
Amen.
Oh, and that's the, you know, that's the hand of God.
Wow.
And that's who we trust in. And it was just amazing. He said on this trip that Israel has never been, this is what he had heard while he was in the land, that Israel has never been more united than it is today, right now. Wow. And that's just a wonderful thing. We stand united today with Israel, and we want to encourage you to do the same. We want to encourage you to support organizations, ministries, groups, VFN TV, those that are they're keeping the focus on Israel and how we need to stand with them. You can do that. We have a list of resources and links available for you on VFNTV.com. But do something. Be a part, because it may not be popular in the future to stand with Israel, but no matter what, you want to be one that says, hey, listen, let it be known now and in all eternity that in this moment in my life, I stood with Israel when Israel needed me. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, we were just talking about what God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing, because you know when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard is after a while you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good, you know. I mean, right. Is there something? We prayed. We prayed for a long time. You know, we pray. We pray for a long time, and part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally, is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking, and it came to a point. It's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore because it just felt so heavy and so broken, and so I don't think I have the grace. I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap and barely to your emotions, but I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. Mm-hmm. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, there's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation. He's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did that. Did. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally
it's
put
in the sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about mm-hmm. it. And so if you're gods, and not if you say you're gods, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're gods, gods with apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're gods. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And like, no, dude. You know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You hang out with him not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. The producer is producing here. Thank you.
He's got a grin. Yeah, he's glowing today.
He is, isn't he? Well, I appreciate your glow and all the stuff that you do to keep us focused.
He doesn't have to say anything. It's just encouraging. Just a smile.
Yes.
And you know he's smiling when his eyes are smiling. You know, just so nice to be around him.
Okay. Oh, that's that look. Okay. We're going to get back on focus. Back on focus. But we're just talking about the Iron Dome. Amazing technology, and guess what? We had, you know, our country had a part in helping to finance that because they just, you know, said yes, we're going to fund it again, $225 million, and let's make sure that they have it. And it's good. It's a very, very good thing. But we want to shift in our talk today because we want to talk about ISIS and what ISIS is doing. I mean, in a previous program, we showed on a map the coverage and what. You know, land have pieces of a northern part of Iraq, some parts of Syria, and they are really taking over some land. But what they're doing now is just horrific. I mean, they've been doing this all along, but the progression of evil in your face is just, I mean, it's barbaric. Right now, reports are that they are beheading children. And it's stunning. You know, and this is one thing that you can't be shocked at evil. You can't be shocked at how low, you know, and what people will do when they're just taken mm-hmm. over. And so it's for us to be informed as believers and as Christians that, hello, we need to stand for Israel. We need to stand for the persecuted church because mm-hmm. it's first the Saturday people and then the Sunday people. That's just one perspective. But let me tell you, just for being a human, you don't treat human beings that way. God's creation. And it's like, you know, whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, my goodness, you've done to me. And careful, careful, ISIS, because this is not going to go unanswered. This mm-hmm. is not going to go unanswered. We have coverage for you that we want to share. CBN is reporting, and you're going to hear from the people themselves how they left everything, Pat, house, home, documents, papers. They were chased out. They were given the opportunity to either to convert, pay a tax, or die by the sword. Mm. And wow. many of them fled to the top of Sinjar Mountain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the United States, we've dropped some aid, but, you know, we haven't done right now what needs to be done is getting these people off this mountain and getting them down. We want you to listen and watch as you kind of hear from them. And these are just recent reports right now from Sinjar Mountain as they've been able to get some people off this mountain. Watch this.
Over this past week, the army of ISIS swallowed up parts of Iraq like a darkness. In just one day, tens of thousands of Christians fled villages like Karakush and Bartila, just about 25 miles away. Most have come here to Erbil with nothing more than the clothes on their back.
They take everything from the house, from the store, everything. And they take like machine, everything, because they are Christian. Just the name Christian. They hate Christian especially. We don't know why.
It was leave or die.
They say if anyone don't become like Muslim, we're gonna kill it. Kill it. Each one. From baby and the woman, one, old man.
We don't have anything here. They bombed the churches and already took our houses. We have nothing here. No money, no ID, no travel documents.
What's happening now to the Christians, to the Yazidis, to the minorities, and like in the last couple of days, to the, mostly to the Christians, is it's a genocide. What's happening is what happened 200 years ago with the Jews.
Dr. Ahmed hears stories of the barbarism of ISIS.
That ISIS was killing, shooting the kids and the people, and they are laying them on the ground, and they bring tractors that they walk over them in the front of their families. They take women out of their houses. So let's say every each family that they have three daughters, they would take one.
In the wake of the ISIS advance, thousands of ethnic Yazidis escaped to a mountain outside the town of Sinjar, while these Christians found shelter at this Catholic compound in Erbil. A few weeks ago, these families fled when ISIS cleansed Mosul of Christians. ISIS gave them an ultimatum.
They gave us four choices, either convert to Islam, or paying tax, or leaving the city, or the sword. They are using the sword to cut off hand and also beheading others. So I don't think this is the behavior of human beings, but wild animals do that.
ISIS looted their properties and left them destitute. They took this woman's dentures, wedding ring, and documents.
They took everything. We asked them, please give us something to show that we owned our car, our home. They said, here you have nothing.
ISIS searched the home of one Christian in Mosul and discovered these two New Testaments, one with a camouflage on the cover and the other with an American flag inside. They accused him of being both a missionary and a spy. ISIS put his name on a list. He told his story, but asked us to hide his identity.
Hey, stop, get back. You are a Christian. The terrorist told me we will kill you.
Sometimes the pressure is overwhelming.
Jesus, save me. Oh, the terrorist. Forgive them. Because they didn't know. They didn't know what they were, what they act.
Even though these Christians are the original people of the region, many simply want to leave. They're pleading for the U.S., the U.N., and Pope Francis to help.
We are asking the responsible states of the international community to come and look and see how all the people are living here.
Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Erbil, Kurdistan.
This is Gary Lane reporting. The ongoing U.S. air campaign in northern Iraq over the weekend helped Iraqi Kurdish forces regain two towns held by Islamic State fighters. On Saturday, two U.S. fighter jets struck several targets near Sinjar. Democrats praise the president's decision to launch the airstrikes.
I think these targeted strikes are very effective. The Kurds are very aggressive. With this support, I think they will be able to stabilize the situation in the north.
And with arms provided by the United States, the Obama administration has decided to send direct military weapons to the Kurdish military, the Peshmerga. Previously, the U.S. sent military aid only to the Iraqi government. Will it be enough to stop the Islamic militants? On Meet the Press Sunday, New York Congressman Peter King said the Islamic State is a formidable foe, stronger than Al-Qaeda.
They have 10 times, 20 times more money than Al-Qaeda ever had. They have much more weapons than Al-Qaeda ever had. And ISIS has hundreds of foreign fighters with them available to come to the United States to attack us. That's the reality.
And while the U.S. military action has slowed the Islamic State advance for now, the Islamists still control the Mosul Dam, a big prize in the north, because it provides water and electricity to the entire area. Gary Lane, CBN News.
Thanks, Gary. I want to show you a map now of where it is. You see this enormous red on that map. That is the territory that ISIS has taken. They've taken a huge swath of Syria and a huge swath of Iraq. And you see over to the right a small area that is the Kurdistan area. And Erbil, the capital, that's where our reporter is right now. Now, the Christians in Mosul have been cleansed out, and the Mosul Dam is at the north of that. And if that is ruptured, it can flood the entire Tigris-Euphrates Valley all the way down to Baghdad, and they can cut off the water of Baghdad. So you can see how strategic it is, lying between Turkey and Syria. If Syria falls to them, and it may, then what's next? Right below that is Jordan, and right beside that is Israel. And the rest of Iraq, then you're looking at who knows where they want to go. But I think, in my opinion, I've been praying. The Christians there are in desperate shape. People that are in the Sinjar Mountains, a small sect, in desperate shape. And although the president has done something, I think he's too late. He kept saying, well, Maliki has to form a government before we can help. And finally, they realized the Peshmerga forces of the people in Kurdistan, the Kurds, will fight, but they didn't have any ammunition. They ran out of bullets. So finally, we're getting something to us. Well, I am privileged to say that on this program, we have a retired general, Paul Vallee. He has more than 15 years experience in special operations and other military operations during 22 years of distinguished service in the Army. General, it's a pleasure to have you with us on the 700 Club.
Good morning, Pat. Happy to be with you and to be able to add some information to your program this morning on the Middle East.
Well, I need it very badly. I understand you're in touch with four intelligence teams working in Iraq. What are they telling you?
Well, the intel teams that we have basically are out of Turkey and the Free Syrian Army with Inside Syria, who I've been working with for about 18 months. I've been in the Middle East five times, Pat, in the last 18 months, and only one has been inside Syria as far as Aleppo last year, and then to Egypt twice within the last 7 months. So by being over there on the ground, you can certainly get a better idea of that chessboard. When you look at that map, Pat, look at it as a chessboard. Look at all the players there. Now you see that red area you were talking about is the beginning of the Levant, which extends all the way from Turkey all the way down to Egypt. And so ISIS will continue to tear down those borders and continue to expand as they recruit around the world. And they got recruits coming in from all over the place, Europe, Middle East, as well as the United States. So this is a real dire situation. Much worse in many ways than Hitler in this genocide that's going on.
General, do you think the president understands what's happening? It looks like he was just dribbling aid to the Peshmerga. They were ready to fight. I know from a political standpoint, he didn't want to put, quote, boots on the ground, so we've got some airstrikes. We won't stop ISIS with just airstrikes, will we?
Well, we can, but when you say boots on the ground, it's sort of a misnomer because we always have intel on the ground. And in the case over there, we have special operations forces that provide air ground operations, just like if you remember the beginning of Afghanistan in the fall of 2001, with 100 special operators and CIA paramilitary and air power, we basically purged the entire Al-Qaeda and Taliban forces. And of course, they fled into Pakistan. And we did that in 34 days. So with the proper air power, the use of the combat Talons, the MC-130s, gunships, we have B-52s, Diego Garcia, we have the fleet forces with the George Bush aircraft carrier group. We have assets in Italy. So we have plenty of assets to come in there. And Pat, here's what I would do. I would give a general patent order. And I would tell the four-star, the head of Central Command, two words.
This is exactly what we're hearing right now is what needs to be happened. A general patent order, the two words is destroy ISIS, is what he's about to say. Destroy ISIS, and it needs to be taken care of. Listen, they already have put the United States on notice that they're coming here. They want to come to the United States. My understanding that reportedly 100 recruits from the United States have joined ISIS, and that the government and the military is you know, they're tagged, basically, getting ready to watch them re-enter. And it's important that we stand. It's important that we do something and not idly sit back and watch and talk about it. It's time to do something and be about it. And we return back from this break. You're going to hear from Governor Mike Huckabee as he was on the Kelly File, and he talks about our need to not just talk and look and point, but it's time for action, and it's time for us to do what we need to do to rescue these people that are stuck on this mountain. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
So what is this stuff now? I know that, you know, Steve was leaving last night. We got a chance to spend some time together. He was in the secret place and all that. Mm-hmm. And like slap your mama hot sauce. Is that right?
I did.
Are you serious?
I did. Yeah.
What is slap your mama hot sauce? I can't believe that you would even think of your mother is so sweet.
Well, it's not something you actually do.
Well, actually,
what?
Mother bought her own slap your mama hot sauce.
Are you serious?
She did. I was blown away. I was found it in my cupboard the other night. It was, yeah. So where did this come from?
So your mother bought you slap your mama.
Yeah.
Sure did. Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So then, well, I'm not going to buy any slap your mama. You know what I'm saying? It just sounds kind of like, it sounds like slap your mama. You know? Why do they call it slap your mama? So why not?
Well, there's a southern saying, I guess you would call it.
If we get any further south, we'll be in Mexico. We're talking about southern. I don't know about
slap your mama. We'll probably Louisiana more than anything. I guess it kind of drifted over here to the east. But, you know, when something's so good, it's just like, man, it's so good. It just makes you want to slap your mama.
Did your mama ever get you something nice for Christmas or anything like that? That's terrible. You mean if something good happens, you slapped your mother?
Well, no, food, something that you eat.
Didn't she fix you dinner and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Was anything good?
Yeah, all the time.
Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
How many times did you slap mom?
You slapped your mother?
I never slapped her.
You said, but it's a southern way of doing things.
That's a southern saying. That's like,
oh, saying.
You do.
Oh.
Saying.
Shoo. Yeah. I was like, oh my goodness. I'm thinking that's terrible.
I never knew.
Yeah. My mother would say, well, he bought that once. He bought that once. He ain't buying that no more.
Yeah, and I said it to obviously. Steve one day we were fixing to eat something. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of Chris's ribs.
He's from Detroit.
He's from Detroit. Apparently, they don't have hot sauce or anything spicy up north. So we've indoctrinated him to hot sauce since he's been here.
So what does it taste like? What does slap your mama taste
like? It's just real hot, spicy. You know, Tabasco-y.
If you had to compare it to nuclear waste, and
not quite that hot.
So it's hot, hot.
That's toxic. It's really hot, yeah.
Is it really?
You probably couldn't. You probably wouldn't like it.
Like that wasabi sauce?
Wasabi?
Wasabi?
That's a different type of sauce.
Oh, wasabi.
Whoa, wasabi.
Whoa, I love that. You're wasabi. That's very good. Chris seldom he seldom says anything wrong. We got to get the wasabi.
Yeah.
The wasabi.
We can make a segment out of that.
You spell that wasabi. So it's hotter than?
Wasabi?
Yeah.
It's a different type of heat. Wasabi will just clean your sinuses completely out if you have any problems.
We don't need any details here. What happens with your system? So why don't you just like throw a match in your mouth? I don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, if you eat,
it's just, I enjoy the burn.
You're a fire swallower, like the guy in the circus where they swallow fire, right?
Not quite.
You think about it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me. It was Second Street.
Always goes back to Second
Street. Yeah, Second Street, or Carver. Anyway, we won't talk about Carver. So I'm looking at a bottle right now online. It is called Slap Your Mama.
Yes, it is.
But they have powder Slap Your Mama and liquid Slap Your Mama.
Yeah, I bought him both, actually.
You did?
I got him the powder and the sauce.
Well,
it's seasoning, you know, you put on your stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Well, it was just a new thing for me. I just didn't realize. When I saw it, I said, oh, it's hot sauce. And you're telling me, like, slap your mama. I should have read it. I could have bought some for my mama. That would have been terrible. Well, Steve, don't slap your mama. She's this very sweet lady. Very sweet lady.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, the producer.
Very
boy.
Good.
He has us going right.
Very good.
Well, you know, we were, just before we took break, we got an update from the general.
Mm-hmm.
Former general, 15 years, 22-year career, you know, informative, insightful.
Very informative.
About what's happening with ISIS, and we're seeing the beheading of children, the pushing of people, you know, out of their homes with no documents or anything. They left everything behind. Can you imagine someone coming to your house with a gun aimed at you and your family and your children and saying, get out, convert, die with a sword, or just leave? What, just, you know... Can we take some? No, you can take nothing. Nothing belongs to you here anymore. Leave.
Wow.
And you walk out, you know, off with your children, your kids, with the shoes on your feet and the clothes on your back, and you don't know when you're going to eat. I mean, there are children that were dying on this mountain, people dying of dehydration, and it's just horrific. But we can do something about this. And I want you to listen to Mike Huckabee and watch as he's interviewed on the Kelly File. And he talks about being a good Samaritan and what we need to do, not just talk about it. Mm-hmm. Okay, time to talk is done. We got to get in and do something.
Time to do.
Watch this.
Breaking tonight, the gut-wrenching pictures continue to come in, showing the tens of thousands of Christians and others fleeing for their lives from this brutal terror group. And now the Vatican is stepping in and taking a stand, issuing a statement that reads in part, listen to this, the dramatic plight of Christians, Yazidis, and other religious communities and ethnic minorities in Iraq requires a clear and courageous stance on the part of religious leaders, especially Muslims. All must be unanimous in condemning unequivocally these crimes and in denouncing the use of religion to justify them. If not, what credibility will religions, their followers, and their leaders have? Very strong statement today from the Vatican. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, host of Huckabee on Fox News, joins me now. Governor, welcome. Good to have you with us tonight.
Thank you, Martha.
The Vatican also took the very rare step of saying that they would agree with airstrikes in this case to stop this evil group.
You know, they have to. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And I think a lot of people don't understand that there's a difference between a peace lover and a peacemaker. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves peace, but wearing jewelry around your neck and saying, I love peace, doesn't bring it. It takes sometimes military action to make peace, especially when you have wolves who are devouring the sheep. That's what we have going on in Iraq right now. These are not people who just want a little piece of real estate. These are people who are chasing down children and cutting their heads off. And the only choice you have, you either kill the wolf or you stand by and you watch the sheep get slaughtered. And at some point, President Obama needs to have the kind of moral clarity that we saw from the Vatican today, that understands that there are times when there is no other option but to exercise what even the Vatican calls a just war.
Yeah, I mean, the administration keeps saying we're not going back into Iraq. You know, we're not going down that road again. We're not going to get mired in anything. We're not putting combat boots on the ground. And yet, you know, you have this situation where it feels like there should be a huge coalition against this group. These guys are awful. I mean, everyone in the world can see what they're doing. They are going after some Sunnis. They're going after Shia. They're going after Yazidi. They're going after Christians. And, you know, who is on their side, Governor Huckabee? And why isn't it easier to build a coalition to go in and to shut them down?
Well, I fear that the president's making a political decision and not so much what some would call a humanitarian decision. To take it a step further with you know, the idea of the Vatican weighing in, let's look at the message of the Good Samaritan. When the man was beaten and robbed, there was a priest and a Levite who came by, went the other way, looked and saw how bad it was, but didn't do anything to involve himself. And it took a Samaritan, a despised person in that particular day and time, to come and actually do something to help the poor person who'd been robbed and beaten. I think the world is looking for a Samaritan. You know, the priests and the Levites are walking by and saying, this is horrible. Gee, this is terrible. But that doesn't save those children who are getting their heads cut off. And it's not saving those babies who are starving up in 100-degree heat on top of Mount Sinjar. This is going to require not simply dropping in some food, but you're going to have to get rid of the wolves who are going after them, who will stop at nothing to kill every last one of them. And Martha, one other point I just hope people will understand. If they killed every person on Mount Sinjar, do you think that ISIS then wipes its hands and says, okay, that's it, we're done? No. This is just a group of savages that want to kill everybody who doesn't accept their radical version of Islam. And that's why there's only one way to deal with a cancer like this. You either cut it out and eradicate it, or you just die from it. And that's the choice Americans are going to have to ultimately face, and the world is going to have to face.
Governor, thank you.
Wow, powerful words from Governor Mike Huckabee. And you think about it, where are the Muslims? Where is the outcry? We heard from Bridget Gabriel that 15 to 20% of the 1.8 million Muslims around the world are radical jihadists. It's about 300 or so million, million, right? Well, that leaves another 800 million Muslims that are not radical, that are not killing people, that are not doing these horrific things. Where is the outcry to condemn and say, this is evil? We don't stand for this. This is awful. And it's time more than ever for people to get together and say, look, knock it off. Not just people, but I mean, the United States. You know, we go around the world trying to help all sorts of people. We got involved in Egypt and their uprising and all that type of things to empower the Muslim Brotherhood, but we won't go in there and take care of these folks that are being killed and murdered and butchered. I mean, you saw video coverage of children, mothers fanning babies because they're dehydrated. There's nothing to drink. I mean, some aid has gotten there and some food and things of that nature. But listen, what's the good of the food if you're going to die in a few days by the sword?
Exactly.
I mean, pass the food, come get me. Listen, we need to be like the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan not only saw something that was wrong, but he was moved with compassion and did something about it. Listen, we can look and we can talk and do all this type of stuff, but until we actually get boots on the ground, till we actually go in there and get these folks out of there and put an end to what ISIS is doing, nothing's going to change. Don't forget that once they get done there, they're on a mission. And they already said they want to come to the United States. We must stop them there. We must save the people on Sinjar Mountain and say enough is enough. Mm-hmm. Get them out. We've done it before. We've done it before. We can do it now. Let's do what we can. Pray. Pray for the persecuted church. Pray for those in Iraq right now that are suffering. And please continue to pray for Israel. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. And let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing, and that's saying, well, do this, and people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions. That really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the Multiply, it's the MultiplyMovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe VineFellowshipNetwork.org is for you. Or go to MultiplyMovement.com. He's called us to be
disciples.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up. Or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.